Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hello.
That was the most interesting way to start the show ever, Robin Schooling. I'm so glad you can join us on Drive Through HR.
I am thrilled to be here.
Fantastic. Well, since we are running a little bit behind, we will just say thank you for joining Drive Through HR. Let's hear about Robin. Robin, would you introduce yourself?
Well, I am Robin Schooling. I reside in hot and humid as of today. Or certainly today, South Louisiana, and 25-plus years HR practitioner, HR leader, and do my own thing now, do some consulting with some small and mid-sized businesses, work with HR teams and HR professionals, do some writing, do some speaking, and just focus on a lot of different things in the HR space and really trying to make HR better and ultimately make organizations better.
That sounds like a rather large task. How are you finding it? Actually, before you answer that, tell everyone the name of your company because I love it.
Silver Zebras is the name of the name of the company.
I totally love that. I just have to say. Okay, so now, how's that going? That's a really tall order.
It is a tall order, and you know, it's an interesting mix, and it really works well because I sort of dabble in all these areas that intersect and kind of coalesce around this mission, which is daunting if you kind of think about it. But it's how do we change the understanding of HR, what HR does, why HR exists, how we add value, and then how do we trickle that down to individual practitioners, individual HR professionals, and help them sort of formulate a new vision for doing HR, and then let them go forth and kind of carry that out to their company. So that's sort of, you know, that's kind of big picture vision of it. But day to day, it's working with, you know, kind of on this real micro level, you know, individual people kind of trying to affect that change or that new way of thinking in individuals and let that kind of spiral up and out. And so whether that be through, again, you know, working with somebody or in an organization, or whether that be through, you know, things that you do as well, Crystal, you know, kind of taking information out to the world and educating people on new ways of doing things, new ways of thinking about things.
So, okay, I'm going to play Matt Charney for just a second.
Uh-oh.
And,
okay.
And say, that all sounds very important, and to some extent it sounds like consultant speak, which is something not to say that you don't do those things, because obviously you do and I do them well. But if you're in HR, that sounds very ambiguous. So how, like, let's pick a subject. Like, what's one thing that you can go in and help institute change around?
Well, for example, an HR team undergoing transition. And that could be an HR team of three people. That could be an HR team of 30 people, 40 people, whatever. So the organization obviously has, you know, goals and objectives and strategic plans and all that sort of thing. The intent within HR is to make sure that what they're doing aligns with, you know, driving that organizational success. And it's very easy on sort of the surface for that HR leader or the members of the team or whatever to come up with, well, here's our HR, you know, philosophy. Here's our HR plan of attack. Here's our HR strategies, what we're going to do to align that. The challenge becomes, and where there are things that I've been able to go in and do, is to help them get there. You know, I think with anything, it's when people are working in the function or in the organization, they're too close to it. They can't kind of take that 50,000 foot view. So going in and working with that HR team who may have already done some sort of, you know, here's our gap analysis, here's our SWOT analysis, whatever, here's our vision, here's what we want to work on. Okay, let's think that through and determine what that looks like then. Get away from the, don't really focus on the what you're going to do, what the tasks are, because that's where we often start. Well, you know, for the benefits department, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. But what does that look like in our day-to-day behaviors or actions as HR professionals? What do we need to do to change how we approach HR? And kind of helping them get to that point so that they're looking at it as something that's very, you know, kind of personal and internal to each individual, but then bringing that to the larger HR function. What's our purpose? How are we adding value? How does our organization see us, use us, need us, and how do we map that out? So it's that can take many forms. Sometimes it's, you know, again, starting very big. What's our internal HR brand, if you will? How do we present ourselves internally? And then trickling down into understanding that everything we do function-wise needs to align with that, needs to focus on what we've determined is our goal, our objective, our reason for existence. And so it's kind of working through with teams on that sort of approach to HR. Clarifying what they're doing is not so much the what they're doing as the first step, it's why they're doing it.
Okay, if you had to guess, and you can totally tell me you're not going to answer this, but if you had to just spitball the number, how many organizations that you've worked with have known that straight off? Like 20%, 20%, 0%?
Yeah, you know, very, very few. I mean, I would say 20%. Maybe that have even sort of thought of it in some way, shape, or form. It's you know, and I don't think this is just an HR thing. I think this is pick a function, and it's probably true. It's the tendency to just, you know, get the job done, if you will. Here's kind of the operational plan. Here's why we need to do what we need to do, and so they'll think about it to some extent, but not with this kind of overarching, holistic view of how all these pieces connect and to really kind of take this stance of we want to do HR in a certain way because that's what fits our organization, and that's what fits our team or the individuals on the team or what the leader wants to do to accomplish. I think there's very few teams that approach it that way and start at that sort of top-down vision, you know, drilling down. They often start with, here's what we need to accomplish, here's the tasks, here's the, you know, whatever, you know, here's our recruiting process, here's our, you know, how we handle benefits, whatever. And they approach it from a task standpoint and try to build it up to justify their existence or justify their value instead of starting from the top down and understanding that how they do what they do and then the behaviors and actions from that need to flow from their reason for existence. You know, so it's sort of flipping it upside down from the way that a lot of people think about it.
So I would say I would agree with that. Again, another tall order that we could probably spend an entire drive-through episode on. And I've kind of flipped the format and asked you questions instead of saying, tell me, what's keeping you up at night? So I'll do that now.
Mm-hmm.
What's keeping you up at night, Robin?
lately it's been my new puppy that's keeping me up at night. But
what kind of puppy? Sorry, you started it. What kind of puppy?
And he's really not so much a puppy anymore. Let's see, he hit 7 months, but he's still a puppy. So Mr. Crumples, who joined the family at the end of the year, little Yorkie, although he's a big boy now because he had his, you know, vet appointment the other day and got some things removed. So he's literally what's keeping me up at night. In terms of sort of like a, you know, big problem weighing on me, nothing really. But something I've been sort of pondering and thinking about and kind of observing, and it's actually kind of a neat thing. It's not a, oh, you know, woe is us, we have a problem. It's sort of the shift that I'm seeing in sort of the general HR landscape that really kind of has me feeling very optimistic. And that is that I see more and more HR practitioners, especially newer, younger HR professionals in their 20s, 30s, coming in with coming into the field with a different expectation of what they want to get out of working in HR, what they think HR can do, should do, how it should approach, organizational issues. So I see this tendency, and this is from some individual conversations, this is from just observing and eavesdropping and whatever, where folks are coming in and saying, we're not going to settle anymore for being the policy police or being just the compliance cops or being relegated to sort of these transactional, functional things. There's an understanding that that stuff still has to happen, but there's also this, I don't know, push and expectation that people say, you know what, HR can be so much more, and we want it to be so much more, and we're not going to settle. You know, we want to be agile and proactive and be, really partnered in the operations and in the business. And,
so,
I've had...
I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop you there for just a second because I think where you're going to go next will take us a little bit, somewhere a little bit different, and I want to hit on this first. You said something really interesting to me, that HR isn't going to just settle for that anymore. But do you really think that's what the business wanted, or that by virtue of what you first talked about, it's the what they know what they're doing kind of a thing? It's things that had to get done, so they started doing it, and we got into an industry-wide rut that we just didn't get out of or are still trying to get out of.
Yes, I think it's the latter. I think it's the latter. And it's not, you know, and it's always, there's always been and always will be a necessity, obviously, to, to handle the fundamentals. I mean, it just is. Pick a, and again, this is not just an HR issue. Pick finance, pick, marketing, pick, IT, pick whoever. Every function has these kind of core functional deliverables that they have to deliver, the CFO
the tactical
needs to make
stuff.
Sure that the general ledger is, up to date, whatever. It's the same in HR. We have just, I think, as you said, it's sort of over time, and I think because of the early foundations of the profession, labor relations and, doing paper, handwritten paychecks, whatever, we just sort of moved into that role. And we're always going to have elements of that. But the subtle shift coming is people that are coming in, see that there's more. Understand they have to get that stuff done, but also understand there are new ways of getting that stuff done. And it can be done perfectly and flawlessly and all the things that need to happen. and they're not going to settle for just doing that. So do leaders, business owners, whatever, still have that expectation that that's what HR is? Yes. And that could be the owner of a 100-employee company. That could be the owner, you know, or CEO of a, you know, 10,000-employee company. There certainly are organizational elements at play that will relegate HR to sort of that role. But where I see the tide changing is the HR professionals working for those organizations are pushing back on that a little bit more, or will not be content to stay in an organization where that's the owner's vision or the CEO's vision of HR. They'll get out. They'll go somewhere where they can do more than just that.
And there certainly seems to be a number of opportunities in HR right now to do just that. And we're going to hit on that in just a second. If you're just now joining us, I'm talking with Robin Schooling. Robin, you are very gracious to have joined us today. She is the head of Silver Zebras, an HR consulting firm. So let's talk a little bit about opportunity. What are you seeing out there, both in terms of new roles, if people were looking to change, and opportunity to do more within the organizations that you've been working with?
I think, I think there's certainly more of an explosion of specialist roles within HR. Certainly in sort of the recruiting talent acquisition vertical. Even looking at small and mid-sized companies and kind of, again, focusing on sort of this South Louisiana landscape that I especially pay attention to, so New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, you know, kind of this corridor that I have here, I see organizations that are adding, that never had before, a dedicated recruiting function, or at least one individual, and they're kind of peeling that off from sort of the generalist roles. So I think that's something that's, I think we've seen that coming for a while, and I see that heightened attention to talent acquisition is increasing. There's one local organization here, fairly good sized, that has done just that. They had some acquisitions, company acquisitions, gobbled up a couple of smaller organizations, and made the decision to increase their HR department and change it. And so it kind of speaks to that sort of, what's our HR brand? And so it was kind of thinking externally, but they also were looking internally and said, so it's a buzzword, okay, I get it, but it was different for around here for them to say, we are now HR and talent, and then added a recruiter position that they had not had before to really kind of say, we're going to have this focus on it. It's important for us, where they really had not thought of that before.
That's interesting. It sort of shifts the focus from admin to talent.
And it may be, I think they were, it's like I said, it's a little buzzwordy. Are they internally really doing that shift on those? This is relatively new for them, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how it plays out. But I thought it was really interesting that they did this little shift that appeared externally, but certainly internally to their newly grown workforce that they have after they kind of these acquisitions.
So let me ask you, when you see that, where the radical change that's happening in the organizations in your area is not we're implementing collaborative technology or we're doing next level branding, it's we're adding a dedicated recruiting person.
Right.
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 Like, is there a little bit of a disparity between what we hear in the quote unquote conference bubble and what you actually see in real world? And how do you help your clients manage that?
Yes, there is. There is a disparity, and I think there's sort of two elements of that. Part of it is, of course, who do we want to hear from at conferences? The cool, the sexy, the stuff that we read about, and that's good for the audiences to hear. I want Sally, HR manager, to hear that. I want her to hear one that I know of, for example, what's the American Heart Association doing, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
I want her to hear that story because that's the only way she's going to get those ideas. And so we hear these things and we see, you know, branding, this, that, whatever, this, you know, collaborative technology, whatever it may be. I want her to hear that because I want her to see those possibilities. But here in the real world, here in Middle America, here not in New York, here not in San Francisco, whatever, the challenges still exist that and Sally's not ready for that. For a variety of reasons. I was on a call the other day for a committee that I'm on, a volunteer committee, and there were about 10 people on there. It was going to be, a collaborative Skype call, and about 50% of the people, everybody was calling in from work, said, well, we can't, Skype is blocked at work. I can't get on. So I'm calling in on my phone and whatever. So in the real world, people face those sorts of challenges. So when we talk about these things, sometimes in the day-to-day existence of the average HR practitioner, it's sort of this unattainable dream that they think they'll never get to, and they can't convince somebody of it. But I still,
and that's kind of like
value in
it's disheartening
it.
A little bit, right?
Yeah,
I think there is, but I think it's like from a consulting perspective, and I don't know. Tell me if you've had the same experience. But part of what I have to do is tell people, like the American Heart Association, by the way, it's okay that you don't do these things that are talked about at conferences.
Right.
Those are huge
right.
budgets, and they're very
right.
advanced programs. It's okay. You haven't failed because you're not there. And I wonder sometimes if we miss that part of the message when we're talking at conferences, and I'll say we because, we're all part of that bubble, right? But I think we really have to balance in what the aspiration, what could be, and making them feel like failures. Because they're not. They're not failing. It's actually great that they're adding dedicated functions.
And I think that, I think the lessons learned, and this is the way I've always approached it, either as an attendee at a session myself, or if I'm presenting something or having a conversation, whatever, is there may be this big, big audacious, program you're hearing about, and you're not at the scale or the scope to do that, but there are nuggets in there, or there are little behaviors, or there are action items that you can pull out and use in your organization or for what fits you. And it really is, I think, the value for attendees, hearing those sorts of things or reading those sorts of things is if they can pull out the nuggets that will apply to them. And I think a lot of it comes back to understanding human behavior, how they will use sort of these, trends or ideas or technologies or whatever it is, and translate that to their world. So there's still value in that. And I've always liked going to events or conferences or whatever and hearing these, pie in the sky ideas that I know would never make sense in my, if I'm working at a 200 employee organization, but I still want to hear it because I appreciate it. But also, there's still lessons in there that I can take with me and take home, and that's the value of that.
Very cool. Well, we've got just a few minutes left. Well, what do you want people to know? If you've got 2 minutes to tell people anything, what is it going to be?
What do I want people to know? I guess my, to kind of get on my soapbox again, but I want people to know that all is not lost in HR. And I'm feeling very optimistic because I think we've changed the conversation somewhat. It used to be, even within the last couple of years, oh, woe is us, oh, my God, nobody respects us. HR can be awesome, and HR can be good, and, take a look around, see what other people are doing, reach out to other people, ask questions, read, consume content voraciously, don't settle for the status quo, and there are ways to get connected to other people to drive that change, to drive the change in HR, because I see the shift. I really see the shift of how we're viewed and how we're, participating in organizations and what we're capable of.
I think that's pretty inspirational right there. So where are you going to be cool. next, Robin? Are you going to be at SHRM 15?
I will be at SHRM 15, yes. I'm a couple weeks going to the Global Force Conference, which I think is going to be really kind of neat, their Work Human Conference. SHRM
Very
15,
cool.
yes. I'm doing a little stint on the Smart Stage at SHRM 15. And then nothing booked until fall when it's, that whirlwind starts. So
mm-hmm.
Ohio SHRM.
Absolutely.
And couple other, so a conference here in New Orleans, a couple other things. So,
we'll definitely we'll definitely keep an eye out for you. So, at Robin Schooling on Twitter, and Silver Zebras is also on the Twitters. So, if you're not connected with Robin, please do so. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope we can have you on again soon when Blog Talk is not being glitchy and uber bitchy. Thank you so much.
Sounds good.
All right. You have a great day.
All right. Bye.